Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Today's Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by the Casino at Delaware Park. You can book daily fee golf at Wake Lake Creek Country Club, located on the grounds of Delaware Park. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. Today's question regarding Nick Sirianni: do you feel more positive or negative about Sirianni following yesterday's press conference? A, more positive. B, more negative. I strongly suspect that the results of this poll will go into the positive category, because I've been listening. I mean, I heard Angelo's show. I heard what Angelo said. I heard what Rhea said. A lot of people seem to start coming around on Sirianni here, and I hope those people are proven right. I really do. I'm just very, very skeptical of Goof working at the head coach level of the NFL in Philadelphia.
Hey, what did you say about Michael Jordan and rock, paper, scissors?
I think he would roll his eyes.
And if you look it up, you see, there are stories. Jay Williams retired, played 75 games for the Bulls, talked about how Michael Jordan would bet, he once bet $100,000 on a game of rock, paper, scissors.
Okay, well, Jordan's no longer number one competitor, now I am. Because if Jordan, if Jordan's into rock, paper, scissors, then the hammer goes above Jordan for competitiveness.
Okay. Well,
because it's an absurd. I mean, John, let me ask you a question. And it's a good find by you. I guess you found it somewhere on the internet. Cool. But let me ask you a question. Would you, John, be honest, would you competitively be interested in playing heads or tails? Would that tickle your fancy?
I think it does everyone's to some degree.
I don't think it does. I don't think it's fun to play. I mean, if you're 6 years old, like when we're nine, you play the game War and Cards. And I like that game. And maybe I'd still play it now. It's essentially a game of chance.
I think you're missing
well,
the whole point.
What's the point? I mean, if I'm going to compete, I want to be able to influence what's going on more than pulling out rock, paper, scissor or guessing heads or tails.
You have a chance to influence. You have a choice. You have a choice of rock, paper, or scissors. You get to beat someone.
Yeah,
you have a chance to best someone else.
But it's just taking a guess. That's where I find that's
the whole concept of competition is, can you beat the other guy? And there are some people who it's never off the table. I think that's what Nick Sirianni's saying. It doesn't matter how silly it sounds. He wants to win. He wants guys who just want to win at any cost, no matter what the stakes or how childish it seems. I'm okay with that.
All right, let's go to the phones. What do you make all this with Sirianni? Can it work here in Philly? 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Brian right now in Trenton. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Doing well, Brian.
Good. I'm going to ask you guys a question first. I want to ask you, like, what Philadelphia sports manager, head coach in the past have you most kind of, like, wanted to listen to, whether it's for his knowledge, just goofy sayings, Or just to make fun of him? Do you guys have any idea?
Well, totally different answers. I mean, the guy I'd most like to listen to is Vermeil, but not to make fun of him, just because I find him fascinating. But if you're saying, I mean, to make fun of him? I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure I'm into making fun of a coach.
Oh, Gabe, I guess.
I mean, Gabe rubbed people the wrong. Look, Doug Moe, it's about 30 years ago. He's only here for like half a year. He seemed kind of wacky. I mean, I was young, but he seemed kind of wacky. I mean, who comes to mind for you, Brian?
For me, it's Charlie Manuel. Like, the guy was ultra competitive. Obviously, there's no disagreeing the knowledge he had of baseball.
No question.
One great guy. But then sometimes you get an interview with him, I don't think he knew half of the time what was going to come out of his mouth or how silly and babbled it sounded.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make fun of him with what he said. But with that, comparing that to Sirianni, and look, I mean, with Charlie Manuel, his players bought into his silliness and the relaxation, but yet the competitiveness.
I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
With Sirianni, this is kind of the same. You're kind of leading that way now. He's got to prove himself, obviously, in Philadelphia.
Sure.
But hopefully his players can kind of buy into it. Maybe it won't be year one.
Yeah.
Maybe by year two, as they get more used to this, I think it could be a real big positive with a laid-back locker room.
Yeah, I think especially here where things can get, man, way too serious at times. I mean, we as fans, we take things a little to the extreme.
Mondays are hot, man.
Some levity. some built-in levity from the head guy. I don't think it's a bad thing.
But it could, I believe it could be very misplaced on a hot Monday. I mean, I'm just telling you, man, on a day when they've lost.
Yeah, and it might be. And he might get all sorts of backlash, but this guy doesn't seem like it's going to matter to him. He'll be smiling and he'll be doing the whole, oh, sorry, I just bumped the camera again. There's like a camera here. I don't know what I just did.
I will say this in his defense, or maybe it's not his defense, just common sense. Maybe he won't be all smiley on a Monday that's a hot Monday, a mad Monday.
Maybe.
You know, maybe he's, you know.
And that'll send a message too.
Yeah.
If a guy is automatically, if you know his base level is this like jokester, clown around competitive guy, and then all of a sudden on a Monday he comes in and he's stone-faced and serious, that's an effective message too.
It can be. I mean, look, I mean, you know, when I lose and beat the hammer, I mean, I get ticked off. I'm not going to be jokey-joke guy in the next 5 minutes. I'm ticked off. I throw the pen across the room. Remember the time I threw the pen at the window?
Who could forget?
I was so mad. Hey, we have a $25 Rita's Italian Ice gift card to give away today. You can head to Rita's for all of your favorite delicious frozen treats. We also have a happy birthday to Peter Frampton today, who I don't even know what in the world John and James are talking about. Something about him having a gimmick with a guitar. What is the gimmick with the guitar? Explain this to me, please.
The talking guitar.
The voice box.
What is that? I don't know what that means. A talking guitar. What
you
does
know,
that mean?
You know, in Living on a Prayer, how Richie Sambora has that thing he has in his mouth, and he's going, oh, wow, 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 wow. That Peter Frampton had the voice box that he would basically, you know, run through his guitar, and he could talk through it, and it would make his guitar sound like it was talking.
Okay.
I mean, it was his gimmick. It was his thing.
Talking guitar. Okay, well, fair enough. So it's his thing. It's his gimmick. Curious from everyone. Yeah. Maybe I'm just jaded because I am not a fan of that sound and Frampton. I hate that. I actually hate that. Him and Van Morrison. Don't like him either. I like that song. Not a Van Morrison fan. Either one of them. But anyway. Gimmick right there. All right. Nice explanation, John and James. Thank you for the audio. John, who's got a gimmick? James, who has a gimmick? Best answer by the end of the show, 215-592-9494. That person's going to win the Italian Ice gift card, the Rita's Italian Ice gift card. Who's got a gimmick? What is it? John Ritchie, when you think of a gimmick, famous, what are we talking here? What do you got?
Well, Lady Gaga burst onto the scene, not just for her talent, but for her amazingly wild ways of dressing. You know, her gimmick, it seemed like early on, you never knew what she would look like when she showed up at an event. Your different colored hair, she's got all sorts of crazy, cool looking dresses and that sort of thing. Now, she was doing it for a serious reason. She was doing it as a statement against the industry. But it was a gimmick, no question.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of ways to go here at 215-592-9494. A lot of gimmicks stand out, sort of like what someone, you know, essentially kind of known for. Like, let me give you one. Let's talk about the King. And I'm not talking about Elvis, and I'm not talking about Richard Petty, and I'm not talking about Arnold Palmer, and I'm not talking about King George, the first, the second, the third, or so on. I'm talking about Howard Eskin. Because the fur coat, I mean, let's be real, it's a gimmick. It's absurd. It's Howard's thing. He walks down the street, he's got a fur coat on. Seltzer, when you think of someone with a gimmick, What do you got?
Not Nick Sirianni's competitiveness. Would that be a gimmick? No.
It might be, actually.
I'll take one that's not a haymaker at all, but do you remember Twista?
No.
He was the fast rapper. That was his gimmick. He rapped super fast.
No, I don't remember that. All right, fair enough. Look, a lot of ways to go here. 215-592-9494. You can think about Tark the Shark biting the towel. I mean, what was going on with that? Was awesome, man. For those that are a little young, UNLV had a coach about 30 years ago, championship-winning coach. And he was a great coach, probably a Hall of Famer. I'm sure he is. During a game, he would just bite on a towel. It was just what he did. He'd bite the towel. All right, hit us up here. Gimmick, 215-592-9494. Sirianni, do you think this thing can actually work? Let's talk to Dan in Philly. What's up, Dan?
Gentlemen, how are we today?
Hi, Dan. Doing well.
Joe, do you think it's – and believe me, I'm impressed by your knowledge of sports, but – how is it competitive that you read more sports books than somebody that goes against you and beat the hammer?
How is it competitive? Yeah. I've never referenced that as a form of competitiveness.
But no, I mean, you're competitive where you play to beat the hammer and you're all excited. How's that competition? That's just more knowledge than somebody.
Well, it's competition of, I guess, a combination of knowledge and recall, I suppose.
Right, which is impressive. But I wouldn't call it competition. Competition is, like –
It's a form of competition. I mean, Jeopardy's a competition. See, that's the thing. When Sirianni talked about Jeopardy yesterday, I mean, essentially what he's saying is trivia questions. Okay, cool. Like, I get that form of competition. Dan, would you want on a Friday night, would you want to hang out with a friend and say, let's play a game, first to 11 of heads or tails? Like, would that float your boat, heads or tails?
If somebody challenged it, you would do it. Like,
no, but it's stupid. I mean, but you can't influence head or tails, and you can't influence rock, paper, scissors. If I'm going to compete,
you're missing the point.
No, I'm not missing the point. You're missing the point.
You're not doing it for fun. You're doing it because somebody challenged you. You're not doing it for fun.
Yeah.
So if somebody challenges you, as a
competitor, Dan, I would decline the challenge of heads or tails because I would tell the person, go take that to some other dork that actually is interested in that.
Well, then you're not a competitor if you're turning down a challenge.
No, because it's a stupid challenge.
Stupid entertainment.
I don't think that matters.
It does to me.
I think that's Nick Sirianni's point. He'll turn anything into a competition.
Not that you could ever even do it, but what about like walking down the high school hallways and they would say, jump up and see who could hit that sign? You know? But
well, that's different. And now you can influence it based on how high you can jump. That's my point. Like, there are tons of things in life to get competitive about. I think rock, paper, scissors isn't one of them.
I think
it's basically a three-way game of heads or tails. I mean, basically.
I think it's patterns. You can pick up other people's patterns. I can't believe I'm actually arguing this. But,
yeah. I agree with you. I think Joe is missing the point. And I think the fact that he tried to take what many view the greatest competitor of all time, Michael Jordan, and say he wouldn't be into rock, paper, scissors. We find out that he was.
Well, I got to think less of Jordan now.
If someone's a competitor to the nth degree, they are taking any opportunity to beat someone at anything.
All right, Dan, give me who's got a gimmick and what it is.
I had another one, but how about Alex Trebek's mustache?
That's a bad answer. It's not a gimmick.
It's not a gimmick. It's just a mustache.
He also shaved it. I mean, that might be something someone's known for, but it's not a gimmick. I mean, come on now. Bad answer. It's like saying Richie's gimmick is his head. He's got a head. Okay. I mean, come on, man.
It is dome.
That's absurd. Let's go to Kevin right now. Kevin, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's always good to call in to talk to you guys.
Thanks for calling.
One thing I like about your show is that you guys have strong opinions, but you can agree to disagree, and I really enjoy listening to that. But and most of the time I side with John, but this morning, Joe, I got to go with you, man. I just don't feel Nick Sirianni. I mean, he's young. I mean, this is this guy's first real NFL opportunity, and we don't need a yes man, you know, on the team. I mean, and that's what's going to happen. He's going to be told what to do, who to play, what plays to call when they want it to. And I just, you know, John, if you were a player, would you want to be under somebody like that, John? I mean, because you'd be able to see through that toward the end of the season.
Yeah, I think this is a problem that the organization has not properly identified, that they're pulling his strings is going to set him up for failure with the players themselves. But
yeah, I mean,
because we know this is the setup that they think works. And they've been validated because they won a Super Bowl with this setup. So they're going to keep doing it until it fails often enough that they say, okay, back to the drawing board. I think in the absence of a situation where the organization, Howfree, would say, okay, we want a strong, established head coach who commands respect, I think that for what we've got, this could be something that works with this dynamic already set up.
Well, it has worked for, you know, Sean McVay, you know, but that's a unique situation. And I think his organization actually gave him the reins, you know, to be the guy that he needed to be for that team. I don't see that happening here for the Eagles. I just don't. And, the Howie Roseman situation, you know, I mean, it's just not going to go away, John.
Well, listen, I think we're talking about different things here. I mean, I agree with you. I think it's revolting that Howfree thinks that they know better than a coach or better than a scout. I think that's just flat out wrong. And that's part of why we will fail, I believe. But I think that Nick Sirianni's attitude, the upbeat nature, the, man, just head in the clouds, so to speak, way of dealing with all of this, it can actually help him. And yesterday was the first time I felt that way. I was pretty down on Nick Sirianni, initially, but it's just sort of like he's gradually growing on me. He's not changing. Yeah, I expected, I guess, him to sort of shape up and become a more dignified version of himself because of the pressure that's being exerted from outside. He's not going to do that. And I think the organization is saying, we're going to let him be who he is. He's just rolling on, working on ball, and I think, you know, hey, I'll take it.
All right, Kevin, give me who's got a gimmick.
I got one of the best ones. Kiss, man.
Oh man,
that's a great answer.
An answer.
Yeah, that really is a tremendous answer.
Wow.
No question. 215-592-9494. Speaking of answers. Today at 11:30, Life Advice with the Hammer. Get these scenarios in. What do you need some help in life with? Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Three ways that you can get to Seltzer to say, hey, here's my situation. Here's my issue. Maybe it's, you know, wrapped around a problem, essentially. And at 11:30, I'll give you some answers, spin you some advice. Life Advice with the Hammer. So get them in. Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Three ways to get involved. Seltzer selecting the question for 11:30 today. Life Advice with the Hammer. John, we got to react to yesterday's Phils game. And the outstanding play so far this year from Bryce Harper. First week.
Oh, you're not allowed to say that.
Sure I am. Tremendous. Tremendous play.
Okay.
Tremendous play. I mean, he is, to use a term from the natural, he is knocking the cover off the ball right now. And yesterday, he flat out saved the Phillies from the jaws of defeat. It was a beautiful thing. No, why do you say I'm not allowed to say that? Because I've been critical of Bryce before?
Yeah, I don't know if we want to let you on the Bryce bandwagon.
It's not about a matter of Bryce bandwagon.
You're just not allowed on. It's flat out, you have been such a Bryce opposer, saying that he's a poser.
Well, he is a little bit of a poser. But
you're not. No, this is not permitted.
Well, first off,
I'm glad to see Bryce actually playing like we all hoped he could.
He hoped, yeah.
And this is... This is awesome.
I mean, here's the thing. He's doing his job, and that's great. But, I mean,
he's doing more than his
job. He is doing more than his job.
Fifth highest batting average in baseball.
I agree.
Best OBP in baseball. Fifth highest slugging percentage in baseball. Third highest OPS. Like, the dude is bringing it.
But do you guys recognize there's a difference? I mean, when he's got a batting average of .357 this year, and last year he had a batting average of .268, I wasn't wrong to say the team needs more from him. Don't point your cannons at me. You two knuckleheads. He's doing what I said he's got to do for the money. And I'm thrilled he's doing it. Don't talk to me about a bandwagon. You're going to point the cannon anywhere. Oh. Point it at yourself for being soft on him in the past. He's doing a great job. job.
Welcome to the club.
And, John, he really did save that game
yesterday.
No, don't
welcome. No, I'm not welcoming you. Yeah, Bryce has been amazing. I do wonder, and I see him every once in a while, bend over, touch his toes, step out of the batter's box, prior to adjusting the gloves again, and it seems like he's trying to limber up. I do wonder how much the back being a little bit off is allowing him to just get in there and swing more normally and aim for contact more than swinging for the fences every time. And hopefully he'll make note of his success right now keep on this trajectory.
I mean, look, he had the shot to right field last night, obviously tying the game, eighth inning, I believe it was. But he's had
seventh.
Okay. He said multiple hits where he just takes it to left field, which I don't remember him doing as much in recent years. It's a good sign. I mean, he said just some pokes down the left field line, if there's no one at third base, just poke it over there. I mean, sometimes it's almost like a little excuse me swing, but hey, puts the ball in play, gets the job done, gets on base.
He's showing a great eye.
493 on base. He's almost getting on base 50% of the time.
I know. I mean,
and all of his home runs have either been to tie a game or take the lead. Which is impressive, too.
And the enthusiasm yesterday entering the dugout, and you guys know I do believe at times Bryce does some stuff that I'll use a Sirianni term. I think it's goofy, and I think it's showy. I'm not a fan of the fanatic socks, shoes, whatever the heck that stuff is, because I think he's...
You hate fun, yeah, we got it.
No, I think he's trying to ingratiate himself to Philadelphia sports fans in a way that people...
What a horrible thing
people
to
actually
do,
sop
to
it up.
Ingratiate yourself to your fans.
Well, sure. but I think it's disingenuous, but... I don't think it at all was disingenuous entering the dugout yesterday. That was a team, when he hit that home run, that was a team that was about two innings away from being swept by their former manager, that had gotten off to a great start this year at 4-0 and I think 5-1. And, had really had a tremendous downturn in the last week and a half and felt like they were in a precarious spot. And that home run to tie the game and the emotion he showed entering the dugout, was, there's no question, it was totally genuine. And it was a combination of relief that the game was tied, enthusiasm that it was tied, but also trying to fire up his teammates to surge ahead. And it did. So I mad props to the guy. He did great yesterday. And he's done great this year. There's no question about it. Look, you can react to the Phillies from yesterday.
Mickey Moniak.
Nick! Got it.
I mean, not an impressive home run, but it was an opposite field.
I couldn't believe it.
Me neither.
I don't think that ball goes out at the vet, right?
I don't know. I mean, it was like 5-6 rows deep. Yeah. It wasn't like just over the fence.
That felt, you're right, but a little bit like a Citizens Bank Park homer.
First RBI from a center fielder this season. Yeah. I mean, come on.
It was awesome to see that. I'm glad for him. I don't expect many more this season. I'm not saying that he's now the answer at center field. I do think they might have something with Nick Maton.
Well, he's done a decent job.
Yeah.
Very early.
I hate to get ahead of myself.
I think you are a little bit.
But the guy is athletic. I'm really impressed, especially with the defense. But then you go back and I didn't realize until, I was looking at the box score after watching, but he had three hits. Like, again, the guy just does more than I expected. And that's a good thing. DD with the elbow should be back soon, but maybe there's a place for him somewhere. And certainly in the absence of Gene,
maybe
while
it's in
he's
left,
healing.
Maybe
up.
It's in left field with McCutcheon dropping the ball.
No, maybe.
Who knows?
I'm not going to put that past them.
All right, 215-592-9494 to react to everything from the Phillies game. Thank God they won yesterday. Didn't get swept by Gabe. But look, there's still only 500, and that is noteworthy because we expected more. Joe to camera, John Ritchie, but Bryce is playing great, no question. React to the Phillies in addition to everything with the Eagles and Sirianni. Also, we'll get into the Sixers up ahead, their game from last night as well. Joe to camera, John Ritchie on WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.